Does your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heavens? Is your faithfulness stretches to the sky? And your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, yeah. And your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. And your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heavens. And your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, yeah. And your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings.
Just take a minute and focus our thoughts and our hearts on God meeting us here and meeting us together.
Thanks for that. I hope your time tonight is full of that kind of rest. Did you check that? Did you see that mountain range that we actually have in our city? That cloud mountain. Ben took that. I thought that was great. But I hope you find rest in the whole evening, that you've managed to find a place to be centered in and get some time to really worship, kind of get over what it is that you're carrying that might seem heavy, learn something, and get a little more like a stack of puppies right there that we're working on being together. And I don't know how puppies appeal to you or not. I like them because it's kind of kitschy to have a bunch of puppies up there and to feel like that a little bit, because we all kind of wish we were that close to somebody or that we had that kind of warmth that we need so much. So we're just exploring that. We want to be that connected to God, and we're working on it with one another too. And so there's a theme running through the night that has to do with that. It actually is running through the whole network, those two descriptions of who we are and what we do, kind of holds us all together so that we're knitting together a whole network of people, about 600 to 700 people in love. And we're part of it, you know, this is that one meeting of all the, let's see, there'll be seven tonight happening all over the region. So I hope you feel a part of that too, and you're working on being together with God and all those people, especially the ones right in front of you. Let's start, keep praying about that. The day was all bathed in prayer before you got here. I think some of you are probably praying for the rest of the people who are going to be here tonight. I know I was, and this is another element of that. So the men start us out. This is a prayer that's been made out of Romans 12, part of Romans 12. I think it's deep. Let's do it really slow. And the men will start out with the first line, and then the women will come with the next one that's in italics and so on, until we get to that last line, which we actually have a little tune for, and we'll sing that together. All right, men?
In view of your mercy, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices.
May our worship be holy and pleasing to you.
Transform us by the renewing of our minds.
Enable us to prove your good, pleasing, and perfect will.
We judge ourselves in accordance with the faith you have distributed to each of us.
We, though many, affirm that we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others.
Tonight we're engaged in self-discovery with God, discovering ways in which we communicate our love to God and the ways in which we receive it. I would like to share some words from the poet Mary Oliver on prayer. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together. And don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks, and a silence in which another voice may speak. So tonight, if you'd like to pray in the prayer corner, you know, and even if you don't have any words, if you want to light a candle, allow yourself to be comfortable in your silent prayer. These are but your moments of listening for our God's voice.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, and worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing a song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow able to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy. Humbled, I bow down in your presence at your throne. And I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy. Humbled I bow down in your presence at your throne. And I call, and you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. In my life, be lifted high, and our world be lifted high, and our love be lifted high. In my life, be lifted high, and our world be lifted high, and our love be lifted high. In my life, be lifted high, and our world be lifted high, and our love be lifted. death, and I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you next song is a new one, and talks about inviting Jesus into our space, and when we invite him in, how he changes us in our circumstances. So when you walk into the room, and everything changes, darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. Cause when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We love you, and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, we can't get enough, and all this is for you, Jesus. When you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. Cause when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise. Cause there is resurrection life in all you do. Sweet love you, and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. I can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We love you. And we love you. And we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you. And we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. And we can't get enough, and all this is for you, Jesus.
jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. So we are his portion, and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. Grace is an ocean we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wind kissing. A heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Us. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he
As we continue tonight, let us ponder the magnificence of the body of us together. Mother Teresa shared that all of us can be in complete surrender to the will of Jesus. The work he has entrusted to you and me is nothing more than putting our love for him into action. What you do, I cannot do. What I do, you cannot do. But together, you and I can do something beautiful for God. To share some more of Mary Oliver's words, and friends, being as kind as friends can be, let's strive to lift the darkness. Let's continue that in our worship.
Kyrie, Kyrie, Eleison. Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison. Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison.
This is just a meditation to focus on Jesus Christ and his mercy on us, and that he comes and meets with us. Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison. Let's just try humming that. Do that again. Sing that one more time. Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison. Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison. You are all I need, and you wait patiently for my heart to free from this world so bleak. Sing that again. As you are all I need, and you wait patiently for my heart to free from this world so bleak. So I fall to my knees, laying all my burdens down, as I stand on holy ground. Take me up in your arms, speak your truth into my lungs, be the strength that holds me up. You are all I need. And you are all I need. As you wait patiently for my heart to free from this world so bleak. So I fall, and so I fall to my knees, laying all my burdens down, as I stand on holy ground. Take me up in your arms, Speak your truth into my lungs. Be the strength that holds me up so I fall into my knees. Laying all my burdens down as I stand on holy ground. Take me up in your arms. Speak your truth into my lungs. Be the strength that holds me up. Holy. And holy. And are you, Lord God Almighty? Your whole earth is full of your glory. And holy. And are you, Lord God Almighty? The whole earth is full of your glory. And so I fall to my knees, laying all my burdens down as I stand on holy ground. Take me up in your arms. Speak your truth into my lungs. Be the strength that holds me here. We got a couple more songs for you. I'm going to ask that you stand for these last two as we worship the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. Awake, 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 sing a song. Awake, 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 sing a song. Awake, awake, awake. Sing a song. Awake, awake, awake. Sing a song. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. Awake, 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 sing a song. 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 Awake, 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 sing a song. 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 I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. For this last song, I'm going to encourage you all to dance as much as you can, because this is called the Happy Song.
Oh!
Oh, I could sing unending songs of how you saved my soul. Oh, I could dance a thousand miles of how your great love. My heart is bursting on to tell of all you've done, of how you changed my life and wiped away the past. I want to shout it out of every rooftop, sing, for now I know that God is for me, not against me. I could sing unending songs of how you saved my soul. Oh, I could dance a thousand miles because of your great love. Everybody's singing now. 'Cause we're so happy. And everybody's dancing now. 'Cause we're so happy. If only we could see your face, see you smiling over us. Unseen angels celebrating, your joy is in this place. Oh, I could sing unending songs, how you saved my soul. Oh, I could dance a thousand miles because of your grace. One more time, I could sing. Oh, I could sing unending songs of how you saved my soul. Oh, I could dance a thousand miles because of your great love. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Aaron, for that subtle saxophone. That's cool. Did the Schnapps actually brought Annalise? Thank you. Thank you for the blessing of this child. Yeah, do not infect her, anybody. such a basic thing I want to talk about, but I'm not sure I can do it justice in the time allotted. So would you pray with me? I hope you get more than I'm going to say. Let's pray. Lord, bless us as we're together and we're thinking about being together. We're trying to mentalize about that a little bit together. Knit us together in a significant way as we listen for you during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We're a community on a mission. A community on a mission. I think that's the basic description of a church that Jesus actually leads. And it's not necessarily the church I grew up in or anything like that, or even the description of a lot of churches may have met up with. I'm not trying to criticize them, but in our culture, the church quickly becomes other things than this. Could become an educational institution. We do well at that. Could be a show. Some of us do well at that. It could be a store. A church is often the store, because we all do well at that. Or it could be a virtual dating service or a non-virtual dating service. It could be a babysitting consortium, all sorts of things that are good things, but maybe not a community on a mission. But I'm still going to say that if we're following Jesus, the church is a community on a mission. Jesus is our leader. I don't think this idea is just being cute. I mean, it's kind of popular to say things like that these days. People who are trying to be cool, being the new church or something like that. I just think I wanted to say it because I think that's just what Jesus is doing, and I don't want us to miss it. He had a mission, right? And this is how one of the ways he described it. My food, he said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Great statement. Thank you, Jesus. And he's still doing it. He's still at work. His mission is to redeem the world, to be the presence of the future. And he loves that. It feeds him to do it. It energizes him. He feels like he's living when he's doing that work. And he called together a community to do it with him. He told his first disciples when he's talking to them, "I chose you and appointed you that you might go bear fruit, and that fruit will last, fruit that will last." He's still doing that. He's still gathering Jesus' followers. He's still working that exact same way. You know, and if you're here and you're not, yeah, and when I did this, you didn't feel like you were in that group, that's okay. I mean, you can come along with us if you haven't decided if you're going to follow along with Jesus or not. But I mean, what he's really trying to do is to gather that people who will be that presence of the future. We're how he scatters the seeds of the age to come. That's what he's doing. Those seeds grow up, bear fruit for forgiveness, reconnection with God. The famous first disciples that Jesus called to follow him, they were like the core team of his community on a mission. And one of the first things he did when he started his public ministry was to get them together so that they could be on mission with him. And that's how God does it. So that's how we do it too. When we began Circle of Hope, first thing we did was call together a formation team, and just like Jesus did with his formation team, and we've been teaming like that ever since. So if you've been with us for 5 minutes, you know that we do things in a team. You had a design team that was leading you, and the whole church is organized in a network of cells, and so they're like communities on a mission. That's what they do. Everyone makes that face-to-face difference. You know, we're constituted to be on that team with Jesus. So the whole church is very I hope this is you already know this, but it's organized in its various teams. It looks something like this. I made this chart myself. I'm just giving you time to admire it because I don't have the total artistic ability, but I thought it kind of looked like us. It's kind of messy, like we are. But it tells you how it works. The compassion teams are over here. You know, they're trying to show God's love in practical ways. Help us do that. Capacity teams are over here. Can't function without them because they're kind of laying the infrastructure all the time to make us have enough resources to do what we do. Then there's the church planting teams here in the middle. That's the big, you know, everything's kind of geared for that process. A lot going on there. Those the two wings that fly us, the small group cells and the large group PMs, all over this big network we've got, trying to keep our community together as one and to do the mission. They're working on that all the time. Sounds easy, but it's really hard. The leadership team does this. This little group here represents about the 35, 40 people who are on the leadership team, and they try to be the overseers and the catalysts for what we're trying to do. The newest compassion team, have you heard about it, is the Development Without Displacement team that's got spawned up at Broad and Dauphin. The Circle of Peacemakers compassion team had their big to-do on Friday. Great time. I don't miss it next year. If you miss it this time, it's fabulous. The children's team is a church planting team. Where is that? Right there. They're taking care of your kids right now, so that they're working right as we speak. Our treasurer, Brian Duffy, who's part of the Common Fund team, one of the capacity teams, was trying to find out if his counters actually work after the 7 p.m. this week, so he's working for us. The latest mission team is the teen mission team. Did you hear about that one yet? They just hired a staff person. They raised money, and they cajoled someone to come in and actually be a staff person who would get out in the street and meet new people. And she's here. She actually came for the first time. Molly McCormick is here. So that's awesome. So that's going to be another form of our community in mission. So I mean, let's put that all out there because you can see, you know, starting a team, building a team, you know, being a good member of a team, it's really basic to who we are. And I say it's really basic to who Jesus is. Jesus, who basically made a team to get his work done in person and continues to form those teams and makes that the essential part of our togetherness. So it's worth talking about. You know, we're all really pretty good at it. You know, some of you who are super at it, you know, you should be just thinking about, okay, now how do I do that again? How do I keep forming these teams? How do I perfect it? Because it's like one of those things you keep learning your whole life. Because you've probably been on a lackluster team before, haven't you? One that really didn't work. I mean, there's a lot of ways for a team to go wrong. Reason why a lot of us would not want to ever be on one again. I did that and it was a pain in my neck. And I don't really want to sacrifice too much to do that thing again I was doing because, you know, you can have one where the leader doesn't really lead it. That sometimes that makes it kind of flat, or the members don't show up for it. The goals aren't clear. The enthusiasm is gone and no one will say so. You know, you can get on a bad team. I've been on some teams where the leader, I don't know, I hope this never happened to you. I've been on a team where a leader wouldn't really let the team members do anything, but they wouldn't stop being the leader. They kind of just, the team ended up being kind of about them, and you ended up going to a meeting to kind of figure out what they were going to do. It was kind of awkward, because you're still on the team. And I've been on a team when I wondered about my teammates, like, how did these people get on this team? They don't really want to do what the team is doing. What are they doing here? You know, why are we doing this meeting? Because they seem like they're just resisting what's going on. Sometimes our heads say we want to do something, but our hands and feet don't really get there. So that can happen. But I've been on the team called Circle of Hope for a long time, and I bet I've been on almost all these teams. I was thinking about it. I may have been on every one of these teams at one time or another, and maybe some of you feel that way too, like you've been on them. Most of them are great. They're again and again, we've been examples of how, say, just with regular little people, I consider myself kind of little, you know, and normal people got together on a team, Jesus in the middle leading them, and they did remarkable things. Look what they came up with again and again. And I think we're still working on that. My favorite example of team building this week focuses around Martha Grace. She's the director of Circle Thrift, which now when you say the director of Circle Thrift, it's like, wow, that sounds like a big job. But 10 years ago, it was a compassion team. It started as an idea, and a little team got around it and struggled through their process, and now it almost closed. And Martha ended up in the middle of it, and now we've got rather profitable stores. I don't know how long this could last, but we wonder how we can keep making more money. How did that happen? Now she's standing right here in front of the new store that we just bought for the stores this week, a new addition to Frankfurt Avenue. That's good. When Martha and I were getting the things signed and stuff, we decided we'd go have a conversation at Pizza Brain, which is right up the street from the store over on Frankfurt Avenue, which also started as a team. Just people sitting around John after the PM, really. And then they ended up being a little team. Now they're Pizza Brain, and they're going to start another one over in Brewery Town. And they're at the heart of also the Good Business Consortium, which is just a team that said, this is a great idea, let's think about this. And now they're making a team where businesses share so other people can start businesses and be mutually supported, like Christians might do business. Just great ideas over and over again. So becoming adept at being a team is really important. I just wanted to say it. I think you probably get it if you just intuitively see how everyone's working around here. But I think it's really at the heart of what Jesus does, and being good at it is a great skill for a Christian. If you wonder what you should be doing with your life, if your career doesn't satisfy you or something like that, and what career ever has totally satisfied anybody, you know, if you're on Jesus' team, there's a lot to do until he returns. And if you're becoming adept at what your vocation is in the spirit and in his body, you're doing what you're meant to do, and there's a lot of satisfaction I think you can derive from that. So being good at it probably makes sense. So I want to give you 7 ways to do it. And I'm obviously not gonna say enough about any of them, but I just wanted to pile up these different ways because we don't always state just how do you make a good team? what would be some things that would be the basic ways, basic team building processes that we should use to form these teams and stick with them? And this will probably help you at work too, if you're on a team or making teams there too. So this is very basic. Play the same game. Be playing the same game. And in our case, make sure Jesus is your coach. And I'm not going to talk about all the scriptures. I may or may not talk about the scriptures, so you can meditate on those as I'm blasting by. If you show up for the game in shoulder pads, but it's really baseball, there's going to be a problem. You know, you should know what are we doing here? What is it? Very basic. Team needs to know they need to know what they're all about. And we need to know here that they're organized by Jesus. Jesus is at the center of them. This scripture in particular is so obvious. I think, have you ever seen this one? God, would you close that curtain? All of you get up and close the curtain. This is a good team. It's like leadership. But the scripture is saying, I am the Lord your God. God says through Isaiah, wants Israel to know, and us by extension, I am the Lord your God who teaches what's best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. God himself directs us. So if you get on the same page with God and with each other, you can team it. Yeah, Jeff, just stand there. That's really helping. But don't worry about it. I think that it's kind of not going to get as far. But let's all discuss it right now. I'm really enjoying this. No, it's okay, Jeff. I don't think it's going to work very well. We're just enjoying watching you do it. I don't think we're going to stop. Okay, you got to stop. Don't take too long. But what was I saying? Trying to get you to pay attention to God actually directing you. This sounds so obvious, but if you're on a team right now where God doesn't direct it, because when you get on the team, your feelings and your relationships are directing it, and your inhibition about what it is that this is all about, it happens almost instantly because you're having a relationship that's awkward or dysfunctional or makes you nervous, and so you forget about God as soon as you get on the team. We need people who focus on what the thing's really about, so what our focus is this mutual thing that we're doing. This is what we're shooting for. And Jesus, we hope, in our context, is right in the middle of that. If you can stay on that kind of page, we can actually get things done. If it becomes about you and how you're feeling or about how the other person's feeling, not quite that, quite the page we were talking about, but certainly relevant. Lots of people end up there, and that's too bad. In that process, you can say another thing to do is make sure that you agree to agree. We often say this around here, because in the United States, one of the ways you solve all your problems is you just say, let's just agree to disagree, let's set that little principle in place so I can ignore you and not really end up having a relationship, but we can still function. I can just get enough distance so we don't have to actually have the kind of heart that gives this thing a passion, but at least we won't be fighting. We say, no, why don't you agree to agree? Because if we're a community on a mission, love should be at the heart of us, and we need that kind of camaraderie that will give us some deeper stuff than just merely tolerating each other. Merely tolerating is just the lowest common denominator kind of thing. We're trying to bring it up so we're actually following the risen Lord, and we need that kind of camaraderie that says, no, really, I'm going to try to get to reconciliation with you. I'm going to have some healthy conflict if I need to. I'm going to try to exercise the kind of confidence that I have in Christ to accept differences and yet still work them together towards a common sense of being one in the Lord. So that's when Paul says, yeah, make my joy complete by being like that. Then we can get somewhere. Have a leader. Some basic to team building is having a leader. I was trying to count them up. We must have like 200 people in our network that are taking the risk to be a leader in some way. It's really miraculous. It's way above some kind of average you could draw about how many people are willing to do that in an organization. And I think I'm really proud of that. I think we're working with Jesus on that one. So thanks if you're trying to do that in some way, and you know, just thanks for taking the risk. Taking the lead for a short time or a long time, you know, it can be tough. But we need someone, we need that person to hold the vision, to knit the community together in some way, to catalyze action. We need the leader. One of our Proverbs says, leaders listen to the body and to God. Their function is discernment as much as direction. And I think that the heart of that little proverb is the same kind of attitude that Jesus had. You know, when he was praying for his core team, he prayed, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they would be one, even as we are one. He was, leadership begins with sharing that common spirit, common task, and like Jesus was taking the role of the point person, the facilitator, the captain, you know, depending on what your team's gathered to do. We always need that person. Sometimes we call this person like the enzyme in the digestive tract. It's not exactly, it's appropriate, because they do kind of deal with the crap of us a lot, but the enzymes, if I know this right, are they kind of attach to other things. They aren't really, don't do much by themselves. They have to attach to some other element and keep the process moving. You're going to get stopped up if you don't have the enzymes in your system, and the leaders kind of act like that. They get these kind of chemical reactions going. They get things going, you know, and that's what we're working on, because it's all one body, but we can't keep things moving without the enzymes, and that's the leaders. They're like that, because we don't want our leaders to be sitting on thrones and telling people what to do necessarily. Because we think everybody has the Spirit of God, and Jesus is ultimately leading. But the leaders are especially attuned for us to listen for the Spirit and give us what we need to keep things together and to move where we want to go. So get one. Make sure they're there. Make sure everyone uses their gifts if you want to have a good team, and don't force people to do things that are going against their passion. This is a little more complex here. Because you're right now, some of you are doing some really dutiful things in the church and in your job too that you don't really want to do. And sometimes you just got to do that. But in the church, we think that since everybody has been gifted by God, that it would be possible at least that most of the time you're focusing on what you're really passionate about, what you've been given to do. What are you gifted in? And if you have natural talents, how do they come to the fore in the service of our common goals? How do we do that? And we're trying to work that out. So you try to help people to focus. If you had a list of things that are things that you could do or things you're passionate about, some of you would have a super long list. You're very talented. You're very committed. You want to do a lot of stuff. You're already super busy. Fabulous. You know, I think you'd want to try to focus on what your top five are, at least, and try to stay away from your bottom five. It's not like if you ever found yourself doing the bottom five, says, oh, I'm sending now, I better stop doing that because they're going to tell me I'm doing my bottom five or some weird thing like that. We're not just looking for balance, but we're trying to keep passion moving, and we get so distracted and so unfocused that we can't really do what we're given to do. We feel coerced, like I'm doing this dutiful thing and it really doesn't move me. I don't really want to do it. You've got to pray enough so you know what it is you're given and how you're going to put that into the mix. That's pretty complex. You should ask your team sometimes, maybe should I be here? Tell me why. You should ask your spiritual director, okay, what are you hearing? Or this could be just like your friend. You know me. What is it that I'm really given to do? And after that, then, you know, you'll need a lot of help to organize yourself so you can actually do it. Because some of you are just so nice. You know, you walk into the room, you see what's necessary, and you just do it. it wouldn't matter if that was yours or not. But if you do everything in the room, the next 100 people that need to be included in the process probably don't even have a space. So think about how the team works too. There's a lot more to that. We'll talk about that later. Communicate. If you want to have an effective team, so basic to team building, that's so basic to life that it's probably obvious. But it's too bad we don't really do it. It is pretty obvious, but it's probably the thing that messes up teams the most. Because good communication takes time. It takes concentration. And that's what we have very little of. So you have to sit down and ponder how to communicate sometimes and make the time to, whether it's an email or whether it's a text or whether it's some other kind of process, you've got to think about it and work on it. It makes a difference. No one wants to even do that anymore. It takes too much time. Won't even touch it because it's too much work. And I certainly don't want to read it. Put it in the subject line it's taking too long. If it's a text, there's this illusion that the instant communication is really happening, which of course it's never happening, because it can't happen in a text probably, and you're reading it on your phone while you're walking on the street. I read them while I'm on my bike. So that's what you're saying, so it's right there in my backpack, just pull it right out. Yeah, sure. Yes, and it has caused an accident before, so I don't recommend that. But if we're going to communicate in such a way that we can knit together a team that's a community and mission, it'll probably take some time. And just to let you know, Jesus is a communication from God in the flesh, right? This is how God does it. Doesn't send you a text, didn't send you a book, didn't do that. Comes in person, face to face, and is working it out in love. Jesus is called the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. And I think that God's telling us how to communicate, so we should try to keep it at that level. Okay, let's do this one too. Be personal. And I hope as we're going through here, you're just kind of deciding which one of these that you think we should talk more about, because we're going to talk together in just a minute. Being personal. Sometimes we think you're going to make a team by standing up in this meeting and saying, I'm making a team. Anyone who's interested, come see me. It's pretty impersonal. Or you could just say, I just put it on the screen even and think, oh, they're going to read the screen and they'll take the initiative. I'll put the information out there. They'll take the initiative and then something will happen in this abstract way. And sometimes that does happen because the Holy Spirit just wants your brilliant idea to work. But if you notice how Jesus usually does it, when he wants to get his team together, he's a shoulder tapper. He goes right up to people and asks them, would you be on my team? And I think that particular moment of passion, when you're actually being that personal enough to say, something matters to me, I want it to matter to you too, that's a God moment. And we should get good at it. Now you wouldn't just go out and go on the street and say, you look like a likely person to be on my team. I've never met you before, but here's something I'm gonna get you to do. Because we all hate that. And we don't want people to be obnoxiously trying just to drag us into something we're not interested in. So if you're forming a team, you would pray about it and you would have some Holy Spirit direction about who's the person who's already gifted to do this. You would go ask them, say, isn't this what God's doing in your life? This is what God's doing in my life. Shall we bring this together as a team? They might actually thank you to do that because they were getting left out of doing what God gave them to do. So personal. It's better to form a team if it's personal. One final thing. Around here especially, let's think of volunteers before we think about staff. You've been doing it so far. I think it's a way of Jesus to be a community on a mission. We don't really want to hire out our mission and have someone kind of be our community and we go get them money or something so they can do it instead of us. We would hire somebody because they would facilitate what we're already about doing. We hire people to give them more time, to give us leadership, to give us a particular function that we need, but we don't want them to be us, and we certainly wouldn't want them to do it instead of us. So we should all think of ourselves as giving what we're giving. We're volunteering what we've been given to be the body of Christ. I think that's what we're getting called to do. So you help people get their God esteem by inviting them into the process of being this community on a mission. Because God's entrusted us all with the redemption project, and we all have something in it. You wouldn't want anyone to be left out of that. You wouldn't want them to think that they're irrelevant to that. The whole goal is that we should all be together in this and all do what we're given to do in the best thing that ever happened to the world, as Jesus continues to introduce the possibility that you could actually have a whole life with God that makes not only remakes you, but remakes the world. And you get to have it in this community that not only redoes the love that you missed as a child, perhaps, but offers that to other people as well. And we're all in that process together. It's a beautiful thing. And anything that gets in the way of it is damnable, really. So team building, basic skill, just wanted to bring it up. Wanted to keep learning and keep practicing it. Because we move, we change, we grow, we're always expanding. And this process is happening even right now in tonight. As a lot of stuff is, even it's in the in-between time, I know people are already going to be talking to each other about what they're doing and how we're going to do what's next. And the more we learn how to do it well, the better off the whole thing is. So I kind of tried to jet through there, and I didn't give you too many examples or anything. I just kind of said, look, this is it. What do you think? Did one of the ideas need to be talked about more? Do you want to give an example of how one of them actually works or anything like that? That would be great for a couple of minutes. Let's talk back. Annalise, it's okay. I know you've just been here for 5 minutes. Come on and say what you need to say, and we'll listen. Yes.
Take what you already have and kind of be who you are. good question. I, you know, we are always trying to find a word that actually can communicate what we're talking about. That's so much baggage to it that people just have an impression that can't get out of their mind. So they never, they just import all the stuff that they used to think into this new thing that we're doing together. So we often try to name things in ways that are more specific or more colorful so we can actually figure it out together. Because we're building something. We're not just applying some principle that could be, you know, like the same, the Walmart's the same in the whole country. So we're not that kind of thing. We're unique, and we're trying to do what God gave us to do. And we have such a big idea already with our 50-something cells and more congregations and all the different mission teams that, you know, we need to define it in a way that makes sense to us so that we understand what the community is and where we're going together. We're that serious about the process that we would actually say, well, let's even think of a word, not just plug something in so we can be efficient, we don't have to think too long about it, and we can just get on to making them pharmaceuticals or something. So we're changing the world here. It's worth the effort. It's worth the time.
Rachel, I'm one of the pastors here at Broadway Washington. As we pass the welcome lists and sign in in the purple binders at the end of your rows, I was thinking about, I love how Rod in the beginning of the meeting got us to remember that we're one church in four locations. So maybe there's, I don't know, 80 of us here together in this room, but there's really like 600 or 700 of us meeting together on this evening to worship. And so it's good to, I like that we're working with feeling that togetherness beyond ourselves. Kind of gets us out. I think in a city where it's easy to feel isolated, even just internally, we really are one body, many people all together. So Jeffy's hooking us up with some slides here of things that are coming up in addition to the Eagles continuing to win and the good TV shows that are coming out this week. This stuff is even better. An intentional retreat, there's some spots left, and I think it's gonna be a beautiful time of year, and I hope it doesn't rain all weekend. This is happening at my house, the About Circle of Hope dessert. Ben's been leading these meetings, and it's been really fun not just to eat dessert together, but to talk about how and why we exist, and how we're organized, what keeps us going.
Are you gonna make that?
Something even better. It does look good. Kind of plasticky, though. Yeah. Something else that's coming up is this Friday in Frankfurt Garden. The Compassion teams are having a celebration, and I think they're going to make some barrel fires and eat Pizza Brain pizza and burgers. And it's going to be a time of worship and celebration and meeting neighbors, really a way to be together as the local expression of the church that we are. Another thing that's coming up that's happening here that I wanted to highlight is the Friendship Garden Women in Art event. It's the first Saturday in October, and I was talking to some people this weekend who are getting their art together, and I think it's going to be great to hear from artists. It's going to be visual art on the walls. It's going to be spoken word. There'll be an opportunity for open mic, and there's going to be several musicians who are presenting their stuff. So I was thinking, as Rod was talking, it would be great to have like a hospitality team there to meet new friends that we might be meeting who also appreciate good art and music. You might have noticed that the sharing box is over by the door. We have a common fund, and we're going after kind of what the early church was doing when they put their money together so that nobody was in need. They had things in common. So we don't have everything in common, but we do have this common fund that keeps us going and that helps us to give to each other when we have needs. And like Rod mentioned, there's time in about a minute to talk and hang out in the lobby over snacks. I think that's a great opportunity to keep on connecting.
All right. So as we continue in our second acts, be comforted and strengthened. Christ is with us. Christ is in us. Christ binds us together in love, and together we share this love with the world. I work in the ER as a nurse, and I overheard a patient recently saying to a friend that we learn to love through the love shown to us. So if I could ask you all to join me in a prayer for this truth, we can repeat this. I'll say a line and you can repeat it after me. Make us worthy, Lord, to serve.
Make us worthy, Lord, to serve.
Our brothers and sisters scattered throughout the world. Who live and die in poverty and hunger.
Who live and die in poverty and hunger.
Through the service of our hands.
Through the service of our hands.
Give them their daily bread.
Give them their daily bread.
And by our understanding love.
And by our understanding love.
Give them peace and joy.
Give them peace and joy.
Got a song to close you out. And Dave and I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. Dave and I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. Awake, 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 sing a song. 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 I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel.
I even I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. Go in peace.